Welcome to Disarming Persuasion, the podcast for sales and business leadership professionals. My name is Dave Rosenberg, and I am the founder and principal at Locked On Leadership, a consulting firm with a mission to replace Thank God It's Friday with Thank God It's Monday. With me is my co-host, a man who can literally teach sales with one hand tied behind his back, Darren Cecil. Darren, what are we going to discuss today?
Transactional versus transformational, Dave.
Transactional, transformational. So these are trucks, four-wheel drive trucks that have a transactional axle, and they transform into giant robots that save the planet.
Well, with what's going on right now, Dave, that would actually be pretty special, don't you think? And a lot of fun.
Well, it certainly would be fun. I guess it would be special since it's not really happening outside the movie. So that would make that special.
It definitely would. I'm thinking more of a transaction where something takes place versus transformational, where there's an incredible change within people and people's lives are even changed.
How does this relate to persuasion, sales, and leadership?
Well, whether it's persuasion, sales, or leadership, sometimes people think something is a transaction. I want something. I go to the store. I buy something. I meet with an employee. We have a conversation. There's a transaction. Something takes place. Something happens. And what we're looking at is transformational. We're looking at changing lives, changing perspectives, changing environments.
Built into or baked into what you just said is sort of an inference that one is better than the other, that transformational is more powerful than transactional.
I think there's times where a transaction is certainly all you need. If we're looking at sustaining relationships, transformational is much more beneficial, in my opinion.
I think I agree with that. So let's explore first why people fall into the transactional trap, and then how we could avoid that and perhaps be more transformational in our approach in either sales or leadership.
That's fair.
So what does the transactional trap look like?
Well, to me, it's I want something, I go and get it. I may or may not care about that person that I'm getting something from. It's a transaction. I'm looking for something. That person has that. That person gives it to me. And then that action is complete.
So I walk into a store because I'm looking for a snack. I grab a branded power bar of some sort because I'm a healthy kind of guy.
Yes.
I don't even know the clerk's name who takes my money. That's a transaction.
Yes, sir.
But my need was met. Their need was met. What's wrong with that?
Nothing is wrong with it. Once again, if that's what you're trying to do, what we're looking at also in persuading and leadership and sales, we're not just looking for that one time that healthy Dave goes into a store and gets some sort of power bar, whatever you're eating. I'm not getting that, but you are. We're looking for something that's long lasting. And as you know, in sales in particular, and in leadership, we want to have the opportunity where a relationship is formed. Relationships are not formed if I go in and buy a power bar.
Yeah, I think I come at this from, you're right. Everything you say is absolutely right. But I think I come at a slightly different approach. If my goal, and I'm going to stay in a sales arena for a minute, I'm going to play in your ballpark, if you don't mind.
Oh, I love it.
If I go into a sales meeting with a transactional mindset, and somebody comes to me and says, I have a problem. Let's just say I'm not making enough sales. And let's presume that I do sales training, which you do. I don't. So, folks, if you do have this issue, let Darren know. But put that shameless plug for my co-host aside. And they say, I need sales training. And the issue is my people don't know how to close. If I'm transactional, I'll name a price for teaching people how to close, and I'm just going to teach them how to close. The challenge is, what if that's not really the problem?
That's right.
Right. As we all know at sales, the close is really set up by every step that precedes the close. And in fact, if you do your due diligence and follow the proper process, it's, quote, it's not a close. The person closes themselves. You have nothing to do but to, you know, basically fend them off as they're ripping the agreement out of your hand to move forward because they desperately want what you want. Mm-hmm. So transactional gives people what they think they need.
That's right.
Transformational gives people what they really need.
Absolutely. And the one thing you were sharing, Dave, I just want to kind of build upon. That's brilliant thoughts, by the way. I appreciate that. And thank you for the shameless plug. That was really good. I will return the favor at another time when it's covert. I can't do it right now, right? It's too obvious.
Well, the 20 bucks helped.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And well, I got a holiday gift, so it worked out well. Just pass it along, you know? And so the one thought that I have is, you know, you mentioned the transactional sale. That person may not even know what they need, right? And the one thing I share, and we'll talk about it in another podcast, is the best salesperson out there is a doctor. They ask a lot of questions before they make a recommendation. If not, they could be sued for medical malpractice. I think a lot of salespeople, a lot of business owners, a lot of coaches and consultants think they're solving the real problem. They're solving the symptom of the problem because they're only getting that from that prospect and therefore becomes a transaction rather than a transformation. And I think through deeper questioning, that's how we figure out what the real challenge is. If you know someone that's been to a psychologist or psychiatrist, they will tell you that the presenting challenge is not the real problem. It's a symptom of the problem. And when you're looking at this, the example you used about hiring somebody like me to come in and close sales, it's the symptom and not the real problem.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's a great analogy. Anybody who's done any counseling from knows that what we think the issue is rarely, never mm-hmm. the issue. Even if we're so self-aware, there's usually something because if we're that self-aware, we're not going to have that issue. There's something underlying we haven't seen, haven't uncovered for ourselves that we need help uncovering. Let's circle this back. So we've talked about sales, at least what transactional sales look like. We'll talk about transformational soon, but I want to nail down the challenge with transactional and what it looks like in a leadership environment as well. So those of our listeners who are also in a leadership role, right? It's not exclusive. In fact, sales is leadership. I actually, one of my mentors today commented on that. You'll start to see when we look at this, I think, why so many would-be leaders struggle. And it's because of the transactional nature. So what does transactional leadership look like?
Well, from my perspective, and also you are the expert in the leadership world, so I will gladly hear and be excited to hear your perspective. For me, from the leadership perspective, transaction is I may have an employee, there's something that needs to be done. I say to that employee, this needs to be done. The deadline is this, it's done, and it's over. That to me is a transaction in the leadership world.
You're absolutely on the right track, but back up. So if I go to an employee and I'm like, we need this thing done. Yes, that's transactional, but the fact that they get it done in and of itself doesn't mean you're not working in a transformational way.
Absolutely.
Right. The real question is what happens with an underperformer, I think. So now absolutely. When you have an underperformer, right? Because the issue is when there's a problem. Right. So a sales prospect comes to you as a salesperson because they have some problem or challenge that they need to overcome. Mm-hmm. Leadership's a little bit more broad than that, but for this, today's discussion, a team member has a problem or challenge. Maybe they're not hitting their numbers, or their quality isn't there, or whatever it might be. If I go to them simply saying, you have this issue, correct this issue, I need you here, that's transactional. As leaders, we need to, why is this issue coming up? Now, sometimes it's a one and done, and you know there are times when that's fine. But when you start to see a pattern, there's something deeper going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our role as a leader is to try and uncover what that issue is and help transform our team member into a higher functioning individual who can deal with those issues on their own.
And didn't you share a story once when you worked for a moving company, how that came into play? I don't suppose you remember that, but I know we talked about that once before.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. So I had a, we called a move coordinator who, inside sales basically, he had a sixth grade education, former gangbanger, former mover who had been injured. And so before I was hired, moved inside and was on the phone with customers. And as I was hired as VP and started making changes, he was very resistant to change. And I knew I had to convince him if we were going to embrace it. Time went on. He started loosening up. It was always still a struggle. Each new change initiative as we improved, it was a constant, continuous improvement. I knew I had to battle him, but it got somewhat easier because I gained trust with him. But the breakthrough happened when one day he came into our staff meeting all down and sort of mopey. He wasn't his normal self. And I'd come to respect his native intelligence. He had no formal education. Although, by the way, he has his associate's degree now. I was actually just chatting with him the other day. So, but at this time, sixth grade education. Now he has his associate's degree. And he was just sort of reverted to his old self. And instead of being transactional and saying to him, hey, you got a bad attitude. I need you to straighten up and fly right. This isn't going to, you know, you're bringing everybody down around here, right? Whatever sort of typical garbage that people say under those conditions who don't know what they're doing. I remember flashing back to one of my chiefs when I was in the Navy who told me, he said, LT, you can't manage attitudes. You can only manage behaviors. So I thought about it for a minute and I said to him, Rock, that was his nickname. What's going on? You're looking down. You're not joking and laughing. And I pointed out the behaviors that I had noticed, the observable actions I had noticed that led me to believe he had a bad attitude. And his answer was, he looked at me, he said, Dave, I just found out last night that my oldest daughter has lupus. This is a guy who has a sixth grade education, $15 an hour, six children, four by his wife, two by another woman. He's supporting everybody. He's doing the right things. He really, you know, and now he's faced with these medical bills. Oh, and the last piece is, of course, we had just put a health plan together probably a month before this. And I looked at him. I said, well, did you get on the health plan? He said, no, I couldn't afford it. I said, well, whatever you need, let me know. Your job is secure here. In other words, I was more concerned about him than the fact that his behavior was wrong. That day, I went back to my office, talked to our broker, and to make a somewhat long story a little bit shorter, we were able to get him grandfathered back onto the health plan if he chose to do that, which, of course, he jumped on. His daughter's doing great today. He's doing great. He's in another industry, but he's doing fantastic. As I said, I was just corresponding. Here's the really interesting thing. When I was corresponding with him, I asked him about this specifically. You know, I asked him what he thought the turnaround in our relationship was. He said to me, he goes, it was when you stopped talking at me and started talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found interesting is that we each had a different perception of where the turnaround occurred. But it was both around the same thing. When I started treating him like a person and not like a cog in a machine. That's transformational.
I was going to say the exact same words. That is transformational right there. Absolutely. It's a brilliant story that everyone can relate to.
And literally, after that day, after we got him on the health plan, every new change initiative after that, he went from my biggest, not detractor, but the person I had to convince, to my biggest supporter. It was almost overnight. It was an amazing thing to see, which is why I credit that event with it.
Absolutely. Well, I have a similar story in sales. I was working with a company and I had a hostage in the room. In other words, there was a member in there that did not want to be there. And he sat with his arms folded. And I think it was like the second or third week. And I said, hey, can I talk to you after? And I said, you don't really like this, do you? He said, no, not really. So you don't really like me either, right? He goes, yeah, no, I think you think you're smarter than you are. I'm like, oh, absolutely. Most definitely. I definitely think I'm smarter than I am, without a doubt.
He was highly perceptive.
And very, absolutely. Acceptance is the first step. I'm with you, right? And so I said, you know, what's going on? He said, well, my company's making me be here. I said, no, your company is not making you come here. He said, no, my company's paid for me to be here. I said, no, your company is paid for your seat, not your seat, but a seat, not with your name on it. I said, do me a favor. Would you just do me the honor of trying this for the next 3 weeks? In the end of 3 weeks, let's have a conversation and we can see if it's a good fit for you or not. But I'm just asking you to try it. Just try what you learn in here. So anyway, fast forward 6 months later, and he came to me and said, okay, my kids say I'm a better dad than I ever been before. My girlfriend says I'm a better boyfriend I've ever been before. And I attribute everything to all the things I learned in here because your program is a life-changing program that increases sales. And I'm number two in my company. I'll never be number one. We're a box company. And number one in our company has Costco as a client, and they kind of order a lot of boxes. But I'm number two, and I sell in Mexico every day, and I have to compete against my competitors that are bribing. And I'm winning business from people that are getting bribes. And he said, I don't really want to talk about that, but here's the deal. I'm a different person. You've changed me. You've transformed me. His words, would you change my brother's life? I'm writing you a check tonight. For several thousands of dollars, will you change my brother's life? That to me was transformational when I took someone that didn't want to be in the room to someone that is now my biggest fan, and his life has changed as a result of that.
That's a great story. And interesting, right? And once again, he wasn't aware of the relationship problems he had, or maybe if he was aware of them, he didn't equate them to the solutions you were providing.
Right.
Which was a sales solution. And I no doubt you're just teaching him how to relate, because I know your approach to sales, which is a fantastic approach. You're just teaching him how to relate to people better, which is the first step in any sales. People do business with people they like and trust. And it spilled over into other parts of his life. That is truly transformational. So I think we've beat the horse that transactional versus transformational, hands down. Transformation is more powerful. And especially if you're looking for long-term relationships, because it's the only way you're going to get a long-term relationship. The fact that I could get on with Rock, and I haven't spoken to him in probably a year, year and a half. Every now and then we'll exchange some missives, right? But, you know, we can do that now because we touched each other's lives. And truly, he transformed me as much as I transformed him. And if he's listening, Rock, I hope you know that. And I find that to be always the case, right? The more you give, the more you get. Mm-hmm. Which leads us to, I think, the next, where I'd like to take this for like the next, you know, sort of closing segment, which is, how do we approach to be transformational? What is it our listeners can do? Because I like to give them tactical, practical advice. What is it they can do right now, today, to start approaching things from a more transformational viewpoint?
Well, I guess one thought I have is, if I'm looking out for my best interest, it tends to be transactional. If I'm looking out for my client's best interest or my employee's best interest, it tends to be transformational. So I guess the first thing is, What's my intent? Would be one thing that anybody can do today, right?
Reminds me of it was a Miracle on 34th Street where Santa Claus was tried, right? Was that not the right movie?
Yep.
And there's a scene because he was working at Gimbel's as the Santa Claus in Gimbel's. This is the if you folks, I know there's like four people in the world who haven't seen Miracle on 34th Street. So I'm sure you know this, but in case you haven't, the real Santa Claus, Kris Kringle, is working at Gimbel's as the store Santa Claus. And there's a scene where he directs a woman to Macy's because they have whatever toy she's looking for as a gift cheaper. That's transformational, right? Not that it transformed her life, but it did, right? Because it helped her improve her relationship with her child and helped her budget, probably improved her relationship with her husband at the same time, right? Because she was more interested in her getting her needs met than the store getting its needs met.
Absolutely.
What's interesting is in the story, in the movie, do you remember what happened, Darren?
Please share.
At first, old man Gimbel, whatever his name was really PO'd because they sent customer away. But when the word came out that Gimbel sent somebody to Macy's, they actually like big flux of business to Gimbel's.
Yep.
That's what happens when we're transformational every time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I can tell you I'm a lifer if I need to take some sort of transportation that's not a cab. I haven't taken a cab in years. I'm an Uber guy. And the reason why I'm an Uber guy is my son and I were in Dallas and there's this kid who picks us up and he's got a bicycle in his front seat, a wheel. And I was like, God, why is that kid got a bicycle in his front seat? And then I noticed he has a steering knob, which is also called a suicide knob. Mm-hmm. I go, hey, what's a suicide knob? He goes, you know what? I go, yeah. He goes, I used to be a professional motocross racer. And I got in an accident. I was paralyzed and I couldn't find a job for 2 years. And Uber gave me a job. And I am just so grateful. So that one story has said to me, I will never take Lyft. I will never take anything else just because of that. I was transformed based on the way that that kid told that story. And then the way my son embraced that story as well. And so that I am transformed by that. It blew me away.
Yeah, I absolutely could see that. And folks, for those of you who are unaware, Darren is missing his left arm below the elbow from birth. You can't see it right now, but he is waving a stump at me. I was stumped by which arm it was.
It's disarming, Dave.
It is disarming. So I could see where a story like that where Uber giving a job to somebody who is physically challenged would resonate greatly with him. So the first step in being transformational is to care more about the other person than you do about yourself.
Yes. Another one is listen. If you're going to be transformational, you have to listen to, like you said earlier, it's not what the person thinks they need because that will become more transactional. It's deeper than that, and it's asking good questions. It's listening and asking good questions. And one thing I tell my clients is, you know, there's that movie, Glenn Ross, ABC, Always Be Closing, Copy Is for Closers. You know, you're laughing, right? It's a great movie. And so what happened is I tell my clients ABQ, always be questioning. And if you ask good questions, you're going to get to the real truth, which will lead to transformational.
So interesting. So people always say be a good listener, but I think you came around to it. It's really be a good questioner. And in order to be a good questioner, you must be a good listener. And go back to a previous podcast we had where you know, who, what, where, when, how, and why. Right. Those are just learn to be a great reporter. Never, I think one of the things you taught me many years ago is never make an assumption. And one of the things that I always try and tell my clients when we're talking about leadership, usually it comes up because we're we're postmortem a leadership encounter, and I would say, well, what do you think was going on in your team member's mind? And they would fill in a blank. Oh, I think this is this. How do you know that? Well, it's the only thing that makes sense. All right. That needs to be a warning sign in our mind when we start going, okay, this is what I think is going on. We need to figure out how to then articulate that. I don't suppose this is the case with you. I mean, you taught me these words, Darren, as well. But many times when people say this is what's going on, right? And we use that Socratic method we talked about in another podcast. And by the way, folks, great podcast if you want to get better at questioning. Really dig down and verify, right? I think it was Brian Tracy used to call it porcupining technique, right? Where you rephrase the question or their statement back to them so they can they could absorb it and hear what you heard the way you heard it and then either correct you or verify it. Did I get that?
I think you did a great job on that. Yes, sir.
All right, so we learned a question, which means we have to listen. We're coming from a place of caring, which is inferred by caring about them more than us, right? We come from a place of caring. What else?
Oh, let's see. One other thing that would be really helpful for transformational is I also have to check my own ego. It's not just looking out for my own best interest. It's also checking my ego. So like the Santa analogy, Kris Kringle, he checked his ego at the door and said, you know what? There's a better opportunity for you over there. And I think checking your ego is really important, going, I'm the know-it-all. Like you said, you have to let them share their experience. I like to say everybody has a movie in there that they're playing. And you have to understand what their movie is. And even if you've seen that movie 1,000 times, it's the first time they're going through their movie. And I think that's really important to let them play out their movie completely before you move forward in making recommendations or what have you. That becomes more transformational.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more there. I remember once, and this is for those of you out there who are in a team selling role, this is a really important lesson that a lot of team salespeople, and you don't necessarily have to be selling in a team. Sometimes you're brought into a sale by a different, you know, a networking partner or something like that. And I remember I was meeting with a hotelier down in Pacific Beach, and the person who brought me in, I would ask a question, and the person who brought me in started answering the question. And I'm like, I really like to hear it from them directly. I understand you probably asked them the same question, but it's so important to get them to say it out loud, because one, you're going to hear something different. That's an interpretation. That's once removed. And you're probably going to hear something from them that you'll key on, and you get better. We all get better at this. The more you practice it, that might lead you down a totally different path.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if they say it, people can't refute their own data. If I say it, I could be a lying sales guy. If you say it as the prospect, it's truth to you.
Right. Dr. Robert Cialdini talks about that. It's commitment and consistency. Right. So once we say it, there's a magic to it, right? You say the words and it becomes true, which is why people, we talked about this once before, why they equivocate so much. It's a way of avoiding making it real. And so I think we were talking about setting the rules at a meeting.
Yep.
And people might say, oh, you're in the ballpark, or, you know, you're looking good. And right, they don't want to commit to you've got this, because once they say you got this, that for them to undo that, there's a magic around that.
Yep.
So getting them to actually say it is much, much more powerful. I think there's one other thing I would leave with, which is be ready to lose the sale from a sales perspective, but or even a leadership, right? You have to be willing to not complete the transaction, because you're not transactional. It's transformational. When I was in sales, I remember I actually would say to clients in the my initial meeting, my job is an educator. I want to uncover what your real needs are and inform you of what the options are to how you can meet those needs. I know if I do a good job, 95% of the time, my solution is a good solution and you're going to end up, we're going to end up doing business together. If, however, you end up in business with somebody else and I know you've made an informed decision, I will walk away satisfied because I know your needs were met. And that's got to be the mindset.
Right. Brilliant way to do it.
All right. Any parting words?
Oh, no, I think it's really important as I think about relationships that I've had where I keep going back, like the Uber and other things. It's all based on I've been transformed and therefore I become a client or a customer for life because of the experience I had versus I just walk in and buy that power bar. And if there's no connection, I can go to any other store to get that same power bar.
Absolutely. I think you summed it up well, right? When people care about you, it's a little transformation. Sometimes it becomes a big one, but it's a little transformation because they know your need, you know, your needs come above theirs. And so the trust is built. So with that, I would say if you found this transformational or any of our episodes, please follow us, subscribe to our podcast. We'd love to have you. If you have any questions on sales or leadership, please let us know and we're happy to answer them in another show. Otherwise, take care.
Have a good one, Dave.
Take care, Darren.
That concludes another episode of Disarming Persuasion. My name's Dave Rosenberg.
And this is Darren Cecil.
Visit our websites at LockedOnLeadership.com or DarrenCecil.com. Follow us on social media. You can find the links in the show notes. Remember, if they fail to make a decision, you failed to disarm them.